Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday episode of Sports Time Radio, and I is this another day that I'm going to have to roll along alone here? But anyways, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. Oh, there we go. Okay. Oh, if not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. And you can always feel free to look me up on Twitter. I am out there at Burke Time. And here, we got this worked out now, so let's see what's going on.
Start spreading the news.
To be fair, it looks like I got this worked out. Stu, did that actually bring you into the studio, or are we having problems?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I called in, and then I got disconnected, and I got a busy signal, so I had to redial. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's been an interesting week when it comes to dealing with the website. I know we lost Dan 3 or 4 times during Wednesday's broadcast, so hopefully we're not in for a day like that, but we shall see how it goes.
Well, you know, I've had enough of technical glitches this week, as we've discussed via email, but nothing to do with the show, though.
Well, that's good. So, you know, that's always a big positive there. So hopefully it will work out. So, but you know, it's weird. I had an idea where I wanted to start it, and now for the life of me, I'm drawing a blank, and I can't remember what the heck I wanted to ask you. So
it must not have been very important.
I confused myself. Well, you know, I'm trying to figure out my FanDuel lineup. And then I had to double-check my NHL lineup because, oddly, as humorous as this is, at the trade deadline, two of my guys got traded for each other.
Uh-oh.
So that, of course, changed their schedule. Yeah, that, of course, it changed their schedule. So then I got to go in and see, well, who's playing and, you know, what days they're playing and are they going to play. And then with the All-Star break right around the corner, there's a lot of guys who are taking games off. So it's just kind of like, okay, great. Can I even feel the team tonight to play? So
if you feel the team, I have a feeling you're not going to make too much money with
this
team.
Well, no, this is the year-long fantasy league.
Is this for basketball or for hockey or both?
Well, we do both, but that was the basketball league where my two guys, I had D'Angelo Russell and Andrew Wiggins. And they ended up being involved in a trade for each other. So, you know, it was kind of like, oh, okay, I don't remember that happening to me before. So.
But that should have no impact on you, right? I mean, you still got both players. And
I still got both guys. The problem is it changed their game schedule. And, you know,
right.
you have to have them in your lineup to get points for them. So I had to make sure I went through and, you know, everybody was in the lineup when they were supposed to be. And, you know, a lot of times when these guys get traded, they don't play the first or second game over there. You know,
take
their time to rush. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out who the heck is going to play and, you know, how that's all going to work out for me. So it can be quite a pain in the rear to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, last minute, there weren't all that many significant last-minute deals in the NBA.
Yeah, no, you know, nothing huge, I guess you would say. You know, there weren't any you know, like gigantic names that got moved or dealt, but there, you know, there were still some, you know, kind of minor under the radar things, and not to, you know, not a big shock. The Bulls did absolutely nothing because when you're as bad as they are, nobody wants your players. So,
well, I'm going to make a prediction, and this, you can take this one to the bank. I predict that the Bulls will not lose today, and they will not lose tomorrow.
And when do they play next?
Not today and not tomorrow.
So yeah, well, so you should be okay with that then, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, they could probably find a way to lose anyway, even if they're not playing.
Yeah, you know, it's just that kind of year, you know. I mean, they looked really bad against, you know, a Pelicans team last night. I mean, I know they're a much better team with Zion than they were without them. I get that, but wow, they just
horrible. And the final score was misleading. The final score was misleading. It was garbage time for the entire fourth quarter, basically.
Yeah, well, that's what I figured. It was basically, you know, the Bulls starters or whoever they decided to play against the, you know, the Pelicans reserves. And, you know, obviously they made up some ground there, you know, against those guys. You know, it's like, great.
Were you surprised that the Bulls didn't peddle Thaddeus Young?
Yeah, you know, out of all the guys, you know, he was the name that kept coming up. And I kind of thought, well, okay, maybe, you know, he's going to go and they're going to get the draft pick or, you know, whatever else is going to come back for him. But, yeah, no, nothing, you know, it ended up being nothing.
No, and the way they are right now, and this is going to be a long, long, long period of time before they become a competitive team again. They're in that in-between or less than in-between segment that's very hard to get out of. They're not going to get lucky and get a – I don't think the draft this year is going to be all that strong anyway. So no matter who they get, I don't think it's going to really improve their chances for next season.
Yeah, well, you know, if they can – move up in the draft, unlike last year where they moved down and, you know, I don't know what they thought they saw in Kobe White or, you know, whatever it was, but I heard somebody today that thinks they're playing him out of position and they think he should be a shooting guard, not a point guard, but which isn't what he was drafted for.
No.
So, yeah, but yeah, if you end up with a good enough pick, you can get help, you know, at least it would be a positive player instead of like this year. I mean, you know, we're looking at a number one pick who's really just not going to help this team.
No, not at all. Yeah, and what free agent will want to sign with the team also? I mean, I can't think of too many.
No, that's the tough part is getting guys to, you know, come here. And, you know, I mean, we're going to hear all the BS talk about Anthony Davis because he'll be a free agent this offseason because he's from the area. But I honestly don't think he's going to consider coming to the Bulls, and the only reason he's going to be a free agent is so he can sign a max deal with the Lakers.
Yeah, that appears to be what he's angling for, I'm sure.
So... you know, but we'll hear that just like, you know, anytime there's a Chicago free agent that pops up, you know, it'll be like, oh yeah, he'll, you know, the Bulls have a real chance at this guy because he's from here and, you know, he'll want to play at home. And no, you know, these guys don't want to play at home. They want to play for money.
I was surprised, by the way, they only had 18,000 last night. I thought with Williamson playing, they would get closer to 20,000, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's a surprise because this will be his only trip here. So, you know, it's definitely a you know, a bit of a surprise that it wasn't just a sellout, because you'd figure everybody would want to come see him the long time he's going to be in town.
Yeah, he got a lot of response from the crowd last night in his favor. And he did pretty well, I guess, 21 points, 9 out of 11 field goals. And I guess he doesn't shoot three-pointers.
Yeah, every now and then, you know. But, yeah, not too often. So,
yeah,
you know, well,
pretty,
of course, you know, every...
pretty, yeah, he looks pretty thick to me. I mean, he's a big guy, solid.
So, yeah, he looked bigger than I thought. I wasn't expecting him to be as large as he was. So I'm wondering if maybe that's something they're going to work on in the off season and maybe try to get him to be a little leaner.
I think that would be a good scenario for them to do that.
But, yeah, looking here at some of the free agents, they have them ranked. Like I said, no surprise, Anthony Davis is number one. But they have Brandon Ingram, who's having a really good year with the Pelicans. He's a restricted free agent. I don't remember what that means in the NBA. Andre Drummond, who was just traded, has an opt-out. But we're really – big men aren't really a factor in the NBA anymore. Gordon Hayward has an opt-out with the Celtics, but he would be turning down a lot of money. And you remember, he had that horrible injury 2 years ago. And then number five on the list is Fred Van Fleet. So – How would you feel if he's the Bulls' big offseason signing?
I would think they would at least win 25 games next season if they got him.
Mm. So, you know, there you go. And, I mean, that's not counting. I don't know. Let's see. I think they have it, yeah, who the Bulls' free agents will be here. Luckily, it's in alphabetical order. They do have Chris Dunn, Shaquille Harrison, Denzel Valentine, and then Otto Porter has a player option, but he's scheduled to make about almost $29 million, and with the year he had, I doubt he's opting out, so I'm sure he'll be back.
Yeah, well, I'm not even sure if he's going to be back this season or not. Maybe he might be back in a month or so, and if he is, how effective can he be?
Yeah, well, at this point, I mean, does it matter, you know, if he even comes back or not this season? So, you know.
Yeah, they have had their share of injuries, and I speculated about this before. I need your opinion on this. Does a bad team incur more injuries than a good team?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you can look at what the Warriors are going through, and they were a good team until everybody got hurt. So.
But look at the difference. Not only have they fallen off the top of the ladder. They've plummeted all the way down to the bottom. And that's
I think in a way, once their guys started getting hurt, I kind of think that was their plan to kind of tank. Because if you think about it, you know, Steph Curry's going to be back soon, probably after the All-Star break. You know, the jury's still out on Klay Thompson. Originally, he was supposed to be back, you know, late in the season, but I've heard people say he'll be out all year. You know, and then if you add in, you know, Draymond Green, of course, is better with those guys on the floor. You know, and then you add in a top pick because they're the Warriors. I won't be surprised if they end up with number one. So they'll be able to add a quality player. It may not be a Zion Williamson, you know, Ja Morant type guy that we had this year, but there'll be somebody there at number one. I know there's a kid out of Dayton who I'm drawing a blank on his name is, really big body, really athletic. You know, if they were to add somebody like him, it's not going to be a long turnaround for them like it is for some of these teams, you know, the Bulls, Cleveland, Detroit, Atlanta. You know, we're not going to see that kind of turnaround for a team like the Warriors. I'd assume they're a playoff team next year as long as everybody's healthy.
Yeah, what do you think about a six or seven seed and 45 wins next season if they're healthy, maybe even 47 wins?
Yeah, you know, if they stay healthy, that wouldn't surprise me. And then, of course, you know, they're going to have some cap room. Again, I don't think, you know, and I think Anthony Davis is going to stay with the Lakers. So even though he'll be the big name, it's just going to be all talk. But, you know, they might be able to add a guy that could, you know, really help out. So, you know, maybe they get to the fifth seed and they hang out around 50 wins and, you know, see what happens come playoff time. But I definitely think they'll be much improved, obviously, over this year. And, you know, while they won't be the championship warrior teams, you know, I still think they'll be a contender for it.
Yeah, barring any catastrophic injuries like they've had this season, and maybe they will get close to 50 wins next year. It'll be interesting.
So yeah, and then we'll still deal with the thing this year where players are going to get waived or bought out. I know, like I saw the Nuggets just waived Gerald Green, who they got in a trade from the Rockets earlier. Evan Turner wants the Timberwolves to buy him out so he can go to a contender. I saw that Kyle O'Quinn is complaining about the Sixers situation, so he wants out. So, you know, we're going to get these guys, these veteran guys here that want to go to contending teams that we're still going to see move this season, you know, even though the trade deadline is gone. It's almost like the waiver
right.
deadline baseball has.
I think it's pretty much a given who the networks want to see in the finals this season. The question
yeah.
I have is who they prefer to see as their opponent.
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult call. I'm sure they're really hot for an LA versus LA Western Conference final. But yeah, you know, out east, you gotta wonder. I mean, the biggest question, of course, right off the bat is anybody going to be able to beat Milwaukee with the way they've played? You know, but other than that, I don't know. I mean, maybe they would like to see Boston, but I don't know if there's a real preference in the East right now for the networks. Maybe Boston because of the name value?
That would be interesting, yeah. Of course, they've competed in the finals before, the Lakers and the Celtics, so they might want to consider that. And I'm wondering, though, if it is Milwaukee in the finals against the Lakers, would the Lakers be the prohibitive favorite despite the fact that Milwaukee has such a great one-loss record?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much been decided that the Lakers are going to win the NBA title this year. Sadly the Kobe thing happened, you know, that's going to be the perfect wrestling storyline for the NBA to play out. And as we know and we've seen, they have their ways of making this happen. So it's pretty well set in stone that it's going to, it's going to go that way.
Yeah, I would think that it's headed in that direction, and I hope they're not too maudlin about the Kobe Bryant situation, dedicating the championship to him, but I'm sure that's what's going to happen. I know that's going to happen, without a doubt.
Given. So, that's just how it's going to go. I mean, I saw a team in Europe retired his number because I guess his father used to play there, and you know, now the UFC is doing something for him because he had a minority investment with them. And it's just like, enough is enough, man. You got to let this poor family grieve at some point in time. You can't keep rubbing it in the face that this happened. But, it's going to be one of these things that just continue to, to come up over and over. I know they have they're having a public memorial, I think, at the arena. Is it still the Staples Center? I don't even remember. But they're having a public memorial there, next week. So it's just kind of like, good, come, please, let this family grieve. But, like I said, that's just not going to happen.
I wonder if they ever discussed whose idea it was to take off in that kind of poor weather conditions.
Yeah, they've never really brought up why they decided to go. I know they were going to a game. I believe the daughter and one of the other passengers on the plane had a basketball game. And I think Kobe was the coach, so I believe that's where they were headed. But, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, unless they thought, you know, they had to get clearance from somebody to fly, didn't they? I mean, you just can't.
It must have. Yeah, you
get in,
just take off indiscriminately.
Can you?
But so, no, I don't think so. And but the conditions were very, very poor for that, for flying that day.
Yeah. So. But yeah,
story.
You know, I know.
It really
yeah.
is a sad story.
You know, I know more and more info keeps coming out. You know, they released today that the. You know, the National Transportation and Safety Board is looking into it, and they did announce today that engine failure was not an issue.
Well,
the official report on the crash won't be ready for another year. So I just hope they don't continue to drag this up for an entire year for, you know, like I said, the wife and, you know, the other kids.
Yeah, it's a shame. They'll probably say pilot error was the cause, you would think, plus
yeah.
the bad weather. Naturally, the bad weather was a tremendous factor in what happened.
Yeah, so. But I actually finally remembered what the heck I wanted to ask you to start the podcast off. You know, we had the big trade earlier in the week, and, you know, everything looked fine. And, what was it, a day or two ago, all of a sudden the Red Stars started balking. You know, they agreed to this deal, and part of this deal was they got a prospect from the Twins. You know, they got a pitcher by the name of, I'm always butchering this guy's name, but now I'm calling him Bruce Dard Gratol. And apparently there's no injury or anything, but when the Red Sox accepted the deal, they projected him as a starter, but after looking forward now, they believe he's going to be a reliever. And I didn't realize that you could renege on a trade for the fact that you basically made a mistake on judging what this guy was going to be.
Yeah, that's strange now. So has that deal has not been officially consummated yet then? It's not a done deal?
No, it is still up in the air. And, you know, the Dodgers made another deal. You know, they sent Jock Peterson and Ross Stripling
right.
across town to the Angels. So if this deal doesn't go through, does that deal go through?
Yeah, you would think
you know,
that.
Because the only reason they traded Peterson was because they were getting bets.
Right, exactly. And they obviously made that deal after they assumed they were getting Mookie Betts, and that's the only reason they would trade Jock Peterson. And now what's going to happen? Is that going to – can they use that as – if the deal doesn't go through for Betts, can they use that as justification for canceling the Peterson deal?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, what it seems like, you know, through all of it, like they're trying to mention that there's something on, you know, Gratol's medical that all of a sudden caused a red flag. Well, of course, you know, my question is, why didn't you see this when you were agreeing to the deal? What I honestly think happened is the Red Sox heard enough about the deal to realize they were kind of being shortchanged, and now they're trying to backpedal to see if they can get a little more. You know, because in reality, they didn't get much. They got an unproven prospect in Verdugo who's never had the opportunity to play every day, and then, a kid who throws really hard but is only 21 – so, you know, there's still developmental time there where you traded Betts, who's an MVP, Price, who was a Cy Young Award winner.
Well, Dodgers will toss in another prospect, a double-A
yeah.
prospect or a single-A prospect to seal the deal?
I'm thinking it's either that or, you know, the Red Sox were going to pick up $45 million left on Price contract. I'm thinking maybe the Dodgers pick up some more money.
Yeah, so. I'm thinking the deal's going to go through somehow.
Yeah, you know, one way or the other, they're going to work this out. You know, and it's humorous because Grittal just happens to be represented by Scott Boras.
Who else?
You know, and Boras mentioned that, you know, the pitcher, he had no problems going full speed late last season. You know,
yeah.
And he mentions here that, you know, he says they're relying on a cursory medical record review, yet noted orthopedic doctors who saw him say there's no issue going forward. So whatever the issue was with Grittal, apparently it was cleared up, and he did pitch in, I think it was 9 or 10 games for the Twins down the stretch in September.
Yeah, the deal will go through. And let's assume, for argument's sake, the deal goes through, and we think it will. Who would not consider the Dodgers the team to beat in the National League after that?
No, they have to be. When you add two players, and I know, you know, Price has had his injury battles here the two of the last 3 years, but yeah, you know, if you get a healthy David Price and Betts, even, you know, if you question the kind of year he had in 2018 because the Red Sox were cheating, he was still pretty good last year when they weren't stealing signs. So it's, you know, that's going to be a hell of a lineup they're going to put on the field.
Yeah, of course they're going to win well over 100 games again, assuming everybody's healthy.
Yeah, you know, and if they, you know, if the other, you know, if any of the other rumors start to kind of, you know, sprout legs, there's talk that they're, you know, they're still interested in acquiring Francisco Lindor. So, you know, if you were to add him into that team, you know, it would just be nuts.
Yeah, that's an awfully imposing ball club if they get him also.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. But, yeah, it's, you know, and then, you know, you just got to imagine it's got to be tough on these players because here – you know, you've got to get ready to move. And in certain cases, well, actually, I think in probably every case, you know, these guys are moving cross country.
Yeah, it's a long, a lot of miles between Boston and Los Angeles for sure.
So, you know, and I mean, I don't know if, you know, any of them are married or have kids or stuff, but, you know, obviously, you know, you got to ride out the school year or the kids have to change schools. You know, you got to figure out what you're doing there and, you know, how it's going to work out with, you know, anything else. So, yeah, it's got to be quite a headache here when you're thinking, okay, let's go. This is where we're going. And, you know, all of a sudden, oh, wait, there's something going on.
Yeah, it's hard to feel sorry for the players considering how much money they get.
Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, even so, it's just the, you know, the kind of upheaval of, you know, trying, okay, well, now we got to move. Okay, great. Well, you know, and obviously they're not doing the moving themselves. You know, it's not like they're out there humping boxes or whatever
right.
else they got to move. But, you know, it's still quite the headache, I'm sure.
Can you imagine how difficult it was in the days prior to jet travel?
Oh, God, yeah. You know, you gotta take the train across country.
Yeah, and that's what they did. Of course,
yeah.
They didn't have baseball on the West Coast until the, what was it, 57 or so?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So. But, yeah, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But, yeah, I just kind of feel the Red Sox got cold feet and went, oh, crap, we're not getting enough. So.
Yeah, like you say, I think either they'll get more money, more money will be paid by the Dodgers, or else they'll get another player tossed in. How about a player to be named later? That's always a good thing.
Yeah. But, yeah, my guess is I'm figuring they're looking for another prospect. You know, it's just kind of like, throw that Class A kid in, or whoever you got down there that they'll be willing to accept and get done with.
You know, the Boston fans are very loyal to the Red Sox. I wonder, they've really had a double whammy now. The cheating incident and now losing Mookie Betts for virtually nothing. I wonder how they feel about the upcoming season.
Yeah, the sad part is it's probably not going to affect attendance one bit, no matter how they feel. So,
no. Because it's Fenway Park.
And that's the strangest thing about all this when it comes to them not wanting to pay the luxury tax. This is a team that makes, I thought I heard somebody say they made $500 million last season. But yet they don't want to, they didn't want to pay the luxury tax.
Yeah, well, there's always a creative accounting. They gross $500 million in profit, and then when you take all the expenses away, they wind up losing.
Yeah, but I mean, in reality, they made money. No matter what they reported, they made money handily.
They made money.
Yeah. They're
it's
probably one of the highest grossing teams in baseball.
Yeah, the baseball industry is not as bad as, for example, I have to toss this in there. It's not really related, but the Hollywood situation can be really a joke in terms of profit. And believe it or not, I think you may have seen this. A few months ago, they reported that the original Men in Black movie that was made, it's still in the red. Hollywood at its best. Believe it or not, it's hard to believe, but they are still losing money on that movie that made umpteen millions of dollars over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, somehow I don't believe that stuff, but, whatever, makes them happy.
Yeah, exactly.
So we had a couple of, I guess you call them minor signings at this point because all the bigger names are off the board, but it's one of the players Dan and I like is actually the Giants made a couple signings. They added a couple outfielders. They added Billy Hamilton, and then they're bringing back Hunter Pence, who Dan and I have always been a big fan of. So, the Giants, they were allegedly in on a lot of the big free agents, didn't land any of them. So they're just kind of, regrouping with whatever's left, I guess. I don't know how else you look at it at this point. So,
Hunter Pence has always been a favorite for sure. I mean, they'll be glad to get him. After Billy Hamilton, he's got speed. He was good for them, but Billy Hamilton, I'm not sure if his better days are behind him now, and maybe he's got the speed. I'm not sure what kind of a batting average he'll bring to the table, though.
Yeah, at this point, you've got to look at him as almost a defensive replacement pinch running type option because, he's not going to hit more than 230 or 240. And, that was always his problem was, the
right.
bat just never caught the other abilities.
No. He was a talented player, but he never could do it much with the bat.
So that's just kind of how it was. I mean, he could steal the bases, and obviously, he's a quality guy there. But once you start looking at the other options, and I mean, he's gonna turn 30, so he's still a young guy. But
even the fact that he hits below 220, 230. He's going to be around a while longer, I would think, with his defensive abilities and his speed.
Yeah, there's always, a situation like that, there's always a contender who might like to add him to their bench, for the, the playoff run. Again, he probably wouldn't make the playoff roster. But, because, that's what the Braves did with him after Kansas City cut him. You bring him out, you put him on the bench. And then if you need a defensive guy or, that pinch running situation comes up where, you know, your catcher gets on and you need the tying run to score, you send Hamilton out there. So.
Well, even with these acquisitions, I'm still going to predict that the Giants wind up in last place in the National League West this season, upcoming season.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, you know, those kind of signings don't change a whole lot. The only reason I mentioned it is because, you know, Dan and I really root for Hunter Pence. So.
He's a fun ball player. He has always been a fun ball player to watch. Kind of quirky, actually.
So, yeah, you know, that's just one of those situations here, and I'm looking for something. I saw this thing where they ranked all 30 opening day starters. Ah, here we go. So now, obviously, you know, John Lester will probably get the start for the Cubs. Out of these 30 opening day guys, where do you have him ranked?
Well, I wouldn't put him in the top half, that's for sure.
No, they don't have him in the top half.
Well, I'm not surprised there. I mean, he's been a very durable pitcher over the years, but I think his better days are long behind him now. And one thing that worries me about the Cubs is they're starting pitching. And so you think he's still going to be the starter and not the Darvish for the opening game?
Yeah, you know, probably. You know, I mean, I think they have him a little too low here. They've got him down at 22. And, they have Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins ahead of him. They've got Ohtani, Mike Fiers, Luis Castillo, and, like, Chris Paddock ahead of him. Them are all guys I think that he's probably still better than. So,
what would you rank him? Would you rank him in the top 15?
No, I would probably have him at 17.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me. I was going to say 17 or 18 might be more realistic than below the 20 mark.
Yeah, because you start looking at some of these names and like the thing they throw out with Alcantara was that he was an all-star last year. Well, the Marlins had to have an all-star. He was the only Marlin all-star. So what does that tell you?
Huh? You got to pick one. And,
I'm not putting Ohtani up there just because you don't know what you're going to get out of him. That's some big questions there, but I know, you know, he's the hot name and everybody gets excited when it happens. So, you know, you just got to kind of deal with it.
Can you envision a scenario where he doesn't pitch at all and just is an everyday ball player, either as a DH or a position player?
No, you know, I don't think so because when he's pitched, he's actually not bad. In all honesty, I think if he was just to focus on pitching, he would be better off because as a hitter, he's just average. You know, there's nothing special about his hitting ability that I've seen so far. But, you know, as a pitcher, granted, there are short stints, you know, 4 or 5 innings, but he's looked good. And, you know, you wonder if he concentrated on that and he could go deeper into games, you know, could he be a legitimate contender to win the Cy Young?
I worry about an injury issue popping up with him, though. That's my concern regarding his ability to pitch innings and go deep into a game.
Yeah, well, you know that. I don't know if he'll ever be able to go deep in games doing both. So.
Yeah, he's an interesting ball player, though. So certainly, we have to keep an eye on him.
You know, I mean, I don't think. You know, he's been worth the hype. But you know, we'll see. You know, and I know it's one of those things where, you know, Everybody gets super excited because he's going to do both, and, you know, this is going to be life-changing, and, yeah, okay, you know.
Yeah, we've heard this before on a couple of occasions, and it hasn't really worked out as great as everybody thought the hype was going to be.
So, you know, I mean, we'll see, what he can add. It's difficult for me to be, to be completely sold on him, with stuff like this. So
I'm not sold on him. I think he's going to be I think he's a talented player, but I have some issues with how well he's going to do in the upcoming years.
So, yeah, I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, we'll see. I'm not as over the moon as, as everybody else gets about him. I mean, I remember, 2 weeks into his rookie year, there were guys giving him the rookie of the year, the MVP, and the Cy Young. And I'm like, really? We're 2 weeks into his career.
How did that prediction work out for them?
Yeah, well, I think he did. Did he win the rookie of the year? I don't even remember.
I'm trying to remember if he did or not. I'm drawing a blank, but I don't think so. But I can't remember specifically if he did or didn't.
Did just because, in reality, the baseball guys are complete idiots and they don't really look at anything when it comes to, to actual voting. They just kind of make up their minds and go. So, but let me see if I can bing it real quick here
Okay.
If he did win it, because yeah, it for some reason, like I said, it seemed like he did. Of course, I've got to get through all the stuff for
how's the movie.
Well, so far so good, but the problem is when you type in rookie of the year, you get the movie. So, I've got to fight through all the garbage for that, because I hate that movie and. One of those. Even though it is about the Cubs, I still hate the movie. All right, let's see. What year was he a rookie? Do you remember? Four of his children, of course, it probably. Oh, yeah, he did win it. 2018, he won it. So, yeah, he had a .285 batting average with 22 home runs, and he was 4-2 in 11 starts with 63 strikeouts. And that was good enough to win the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I didn't think he did. So I guess I was wrong about that one.
Yeah, I didn't remember him winning it either. I just, like I said, I wasn't all that all that overly impressed with him, but, let's.
It'll be interesting if he stays healthy this year, how well he does, both pitching and hitting.
Oh, sorry about that. Cool. Yeah, he beat out, here you go. He got 25 first place votes. The other five went to Miguel Andujar of the Yankees, who finished second. On the other guys who got votes were Gleyber Torres, Joey Wendell, Daniel Polka, and Ryan Yarbrough. So he didn't have a ton of competition.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
I'm guessing he would have struggled a little more in the National League because they picked Ronald Acuna, but there was also Juan Soto and Walker Buehler involved in that balloting. So it may have been a little different story in the, if he had a little more competition.
Well, it's nice to talk about these things now in the bleak cold of early February.
Well, like we were saying on email, I know pitchers and catchers report here very quickly. It's not going to be long before, you know, they're in camp. I think it's just, you know, a couple weeks now.
Yeah, yeah. As I pointed out in my email, you're very fortunate because you can see every single Cub spring training game, something that's never been done before.
That's just what I need. So, you know, I only watch the spring training games when the guys I know are actually playing. And for that, I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, I'm kind of done with this. So
they play what for? They play for one inning and take them out, or two innings, and that's it anyway.
They bat and they're all done, and you know, so. You know, but yeah, that'll be going, you know, getting going soon. And then I don't think it's too much longer. Is it a week or two that all the players report after pitchers and catchers get in?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's incredible to me that what the Cubs have done during the offseason, which is virtually nothing. And I myself do not like their chances at all for this upcoming season.
Yeah, well, you know, oddly, as weird as it is, their off season is very similar to the Red Sox, and I'm wondering if down the line here, you know, probably next off season, we're going to see them move Chris Bryant.
Well, that rumor has been going on for how many months now? And there's still some speculation
that
he'll be traded during the season. There's still speculation.
You know, now that he's
not
lost the season, you know where you are with him. So, you know, you don't have to worry about losing him just this year. You know he's with you through all the next year. So, yeah, I won't be surprised next if the Cubs are in a situation just like the Red Sox were with Betts this year where they don't want to pay him. So.
Well, we'll have to see in the. I'm glad, though, that my prediction is not as off base as I thought it would be. Remember, I told you I predicted them for fourth place this year. Well, so far, every expert that I've seen agrees with me. Now, does that mean they'll be? That means that we'll all be wrong and they'll be a contender.
Yeah, I saw the first thing I saw that came out. The USA Today put out their. You know, they're way too early predictions because there's no way you can be making predictions right now. It's just impossible. But, yeah, they had them at 82-80 in fourth place. But, you know, it's weird because, you know, I know the Reds had a really exciting off season, so everybody is on the bandwagon there. But it's difficult to make the big jump that a lot of people expect the Reds to do. And the humorous thing that I just can't figure out with these guys is the Reds are going to make a big jump than the White Sox are, even though the White Sox division is cake compared to what the Reds have to play.
The
White Sox
much
are going to get
the
Cardinals and the Royals 34 times. You know, okay, the Reds get to play the Pirates 17. But, you know, the Cubs won't be bad. The Brewers and Cardinals won't be bad either. You know, you don't know what the hell's going to go on with the Indians. And, you know, the Twins are a solid team. I don't know if I'd call them good, but they're a solid team. But yet it's the Reds that everybody sees making this big jump in the standings, not the White Sox, who everybody still has in third place.
How many wins were they projected to have this year? The White Sox.
I believe you had them under 500 in third place.
Wins? Maybe 79.
Yeah, I think
wins.
It might have been something like that. But yeah, you know, when you look at the comparisons, it's like I'm assuming they were excited because the Reds made the last moves before they put their picks out, so that was fresh in their mind. You know, and that gets everybody all hyped up, and you're like, oh, yeah, look what this team did. You know, they're winning the offseason, and, you know, winning the offseason doesn't mean diddly squat. So, yeah, it was just kind of, you know, kind of asinine when you come down to it that, well, just A, you're putting predictions out in, you know, February, and B, that obviously you're not paying attention. So
I think the moves they made are a good one, but I think that the one player on the Reds team has to bounce back to what he's capable of doing before they can make we can anoint him to be a contender, and that's Joey Votto.
Yeah. So
I've always thought he was a talented player, but boy, he has not looked good the last year or two.
No, he really scuffled last year. So you know, we'll see if he bounces back, how it works out. So
who knows? Maybe he'll be the comeback player of the year.
Oh, well, you know, possibly. He's got enough protection in the lineup. I mean, obviously, it's going to hurt them, you know, right off the bat that, you know, Suarez got hurt, and it looks like, you know, now they're saying he's not going to be ready for opening day. So, you know, that's going to be a bit of a blow for them.
For sure, for sure. Well, they had a bit of a blow a year, was it a year ago, when Jeanette got hurt after he had a great season previously, but he got hurt and never bounced back before. Of course, he was moved.
Well, he was cut. So
yeah,
you know, he was cut by a couple teams. So
yeah, he never recovered from the injury. He never recovered.
Yeah.
And he was a heck of a player prior to that.
Well, for Cincinnati, he was just kind of an average player from Milwaukee. So
right.
Oh. All right. Well, let's get in on your predictions for the week here. You did suffer an 0-2 week last week. That doesn't happen too often here. But you're still 81-39. So I'm gonna give you you're gonna get four this week. So we'll see how this goes, and it starts off tomorrow at 1:00. All right, with the I'm drawing a blank on what their nickname is, but it's the Seattle in the XFL. The opening game, they're in DC to take on the DC Defenders. Who you got winning the XFL opener?
Well, that's really a potluck prediction, isn't it? And well, let's go for the hometown.
We're going to be.
We'll go for the hometown favorite on this one.
I don't know if they're the favorite, but all right. Now the second XFL game tomorrow has the Los Angeles team in Houston. So you like LA or Houston in game two?
Well, it's another tough one, but let's go with Los Angeles on this one.
All right, then we move to Sunday's action. All right, it's the Tampa Bay. I believe the Tampa Bay team is the Vipers. They're in New York. Again, I'm drawing a blank on what the New York team's name is. Again, this is another one of those games that technically it's New York, but they're playing in New Jersey. So you like Tampa Bay or New York in the Sunday XFL opener?
Well, I always did like Eddie Graham, but I'm going to go for New York this time.
All right, and then we wrap up the XFL action. It's the St. Louis, I believe the St. Louis is the Battle Hawks. They are in Dallas. Now, I can tell you I saw this. St. Louis, I believe, has the second worst odds to win the league, while Dallas is the prohibitive favorite. So I will help you out as much as I can there with that game. You got Dallas getting the win at home, or St. Louis pulling off the big upset to start the season off?
Well, see, since you told me that inside information, I'm going to have to go with Dallas to win that one.
So, yeah, I just saw that today. They are the favorite in the Fox betting line to win the whole thing this year for the XFL. So
it's pretty difficult to establish a favorite in the league when it's the first games for all the teams involved. I mean, we'll know a little better how after we see what kind of football actually is presented over the weekend. It should be interesting.
Yeah, I would be interested to know how they came up with it. I'm assuming you're just looking at head coach and quarterback and kind of just going about it that way. So,
yeah. Also have to get used to the new rule changes and scoring changes that if they're going to have in the league.
So yeah, I'm actually interested to see, how this goes tomorrow. I'll be interested in checking out some of the first game, and I'll probably watch a little of all four. I doubt I'll sit through an entire, a full game just because it's not NFL football, and eventually I'll probably lose interest. But I definitely want to sit down and give them a shot and see what kind of football they present.
Well, I think, though, that this league will finish their season, unlike the AAF of last year.
No, well, it's going to be better football than, the AAF or the Alliance, whatever you want to call it. I mean, just the comparison of players, we're getting guys, Landry Jones is the starting quarterback for Dallas, and he's actually made starts in the NFL for the Steelers. I don't think any of the quarterbacks in the Alliance made a start in the NFL during the regular season.
No.
Couple of them played in pre-games. But, like, when Pittsburgh's quarterbacks got hurt, they actually reached out to Jones to try to bring him back, and he couldn't get out of his XFL contract.
Right. I am impressed, by the way, with the network lineups that they have that are becoming the games. And that has to be in their favor as well.
Yeah, you've got to you've got to think. I mean, it's all I know some of the games are on Fox Sports, but I think by now everybody gets that network now. So yeah, it's definitely, and that's like I was laughing today. I was watching the Mickey Mouse Network, and I'm guessing, the guy just completely forgot that they're covering it, because ABC has the opener, which is now which is obviously part of the Disney family, and then ESPN has the final game, and yet this guy's sitting on ESPN, acting like he doesn't know what the XFL is. And I'm like, moron, do you realize that it's on your network? So
yeah, that's kind of embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Wilson, before I'm gonna put you on the spot now. You're always asking me for predictions. I have to ask you one prediction, and do I have time to do that?
Okay. Sure.
All right. Tomorrow, Maryland at Illinois.
Ooh. Well, Maryland is a pretty good team, but I would take Illinois at home. In the Big Ten, I like those home teams, and the Big Ten is tough this year for a conference.
Yeah.
I would go with the home team and see if Illinois could get a win. I don't know if they're favorite, but I think they could get a.
Because isn't Maryland a top 10 team?
They might be. I don't really follow the rankings. So, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they, if they were, if they are. So, I don't know if we got time for me to. Here.
No, I don't think we do. But I am taking your prediction under advisement. So I may call my local bookie tomorrow and
they have Maryland at number 9. So.
Oh, well, okay. They are in the top 10. All right. That should be interesting, though, because Illinois is a good basketball team, and I think you're right. The home team is important.
Twitter is @SportsTimeRadio. Of course, you can hunt me down on Twitter at @SportsTime. Thank you.